Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And it's a powerful letter because it gives us so much. It's full of theological and practical truths. We see truths about man and the fall and sin and salvation and Israel and the church and clear teaching concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We've moved into the section we're calling the results section, the results of salvation. We see that we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God. And in Romans chapter 5, we're also seeing details concerning God's love and His plan for us. Remember Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now this morning, as we continue, we're really going to see two things in this passage. We're going to go from 12 through 17, but we're going to see two things. First of all, we're going to see Adam's sin given to us. Now, we've talked about that before back in chapter 3 and chapter 4 about imputation, how Adam's sin was imputed to us. We'll actually see it there in verse 12, 13, and 14. So we'll look at that. And then, as we continue, something that ties in with it, we're going to see the contrast between what Christ did, or basically what Adam did and what Christ did. Being found in Adam, being found in Christ. It's powerful. We see Adam's sin brings death. Christ's gift brings life, and it's powerful, and we'll see that. In fact, as you think about the passage, we'll see it as we go through it. Adam's transgression brings in sin and condemnation and death, while Christ's gift, which is His death and resurrection, brings righteousness, life. There's a lot, and we see these great truths as we study, so there's a lot there. Think about our world for a second. You know, when you look out at the world and you turn on the television, or whether it's sports or models or anything, I mean, the world looks great and attracts us, and it's beautiful and successful, and you look at athletes and models and leaders and movie stars and all of these things. Sometimes people call them the beautiful people of the world. When you look at our world, we think, man, you know, the world is pretty great. But there's something that we don't always think about, even as those of us who are believers. And that is the human race is dead. That they're dead in sin. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that all people are dead. In fact, it's dead men, dead women walking. You remember the movie? I mean, some of you I know didn't see that, but the movie The Sixth Sense. It's about this little boy who could see dead people, and he's talking to Bruce Willis in the movie, and he looks at him and he goes, "I see dead people." And Willis looks at him and then he says, "But they don't know that they're dead." See, we walk out into this world and you know what we see? We see dead people, but they don't know that they're dead. They don't know that they're dead in trespasses and sins. They don't know that they're separated from the living God. And we live in a world of dead people. People come into this world physically alive but spiritually dead. As we saw in chapters 1, 2, and part of 3 of the book of Romans, that all people, whether they're bad, good, or religious, it doesn't make any difference. They've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How did this happen? And we're going to see from our passage this morning, and we've already talked about it, but in the book of Romans we find that in Adam, when Adam sinned, his sin was passed to every person. And so when Adam sinned and died, every human being has sinned and died in Adam. We're all a fallen, sinful world, and that's why we look out and we see dead people walking. This morning, we continue to look at Romans chapter 5. We're going to be reminded of the truth of mankind, what we're like in Adam. And today, we're going to see a contrast between in Adam, all die. In Christ, all made alive. In Adam, there's sin, death. The transgression brings death. In Christ, there's righteousness and life. And Christ's gift brings life. So this morning, there's a lot of things we'll see in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 17. Let's remember where we are. We're in the book of Romans, of course, which is called the Gospel of God, because it gives us great truths, things that we can know and apply, not only dealing with mankind, but the fall and Jesus Christ and His work and salvation and all of these things, even Christian life. Now, you remember how the book is divided? In chapters 1, 2, and part of chapter 3, we saw the problem that all people are sinners, that it doesn't make any difference of how you measure up to other people. When you measure to God, you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all in trouble. And then in chapters 3 and 4, last part of 3 and all of 4, we saw the solution to the problem, and that is Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to die on the cross, paid for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Whoever believes in Him, not perish, but have eternal life. Then we moved into chapter 5, which was the result of salvation. In the first part of chapter 5, it says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, we have access to God, and we have the hope of God. All of that as a result of salvation. As we continue in chapter 5, we see things about God love and about salvation. Now this morning as we continue, we're going to see, He's going to remind us what has happened to us, where we came from, and what God has done. There's a lot in this little section. Last time we saw, if you remember, the message of God's love and His plan to save us. You remember we saw that God saves us, and we're not going to go into details on this. And so if you weren't here last week, and when I just say what I'm about to say, if you don't get it exactly, if you would get the tape, because I don't have time to go back over it. But what we saw last week is that God's plan of salvation is total. He has saved us in the past. He is saving us now, and He will save us in the future. We have been saved in the past because we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we've been justified by faith. We have eternal life. We are saved in the past. We are being saved. That's our Christian life. We call it sanctification. As we live according to the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are being saved every day, as He calls it. And then we will be saved from the wrath to come. The Bible talks about that one day Jesus is going to come get us. He's going to keep us with Him forever, and we'll never experience the wrath of God, which is separation. In the passage last week, He talked about two of those three kinds of salvation. He talked about our past salvation, and He talked about our future salvation. I just want to remind you of that. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 8. He says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us." This is a great verse in the Bible. God shows us His love, and that while we were sinners, not while we cleaned our life up and got our act together, but while we were sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. We can never forget those four words. Christ, Jesus Christ, died in our place because the wages of sin is death for us. He died as our substitute. Now, we see past and future salvation. Now, look at the next verse. "Much more, then, having been justified by His blood," that's past tense, we have been saved, have been justified by faith in Christ through His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Not only are we saved in the past by faith in Jesus Christ, we will be saved, delivered from the future wrath. The wrath of God is the separation where people are cast into the lake of fire. We will be saved. So He talked about that last time. Very powerful. God's plan is to save us completely. We ended in verse 11 with praise. Notice how He ends this little section. Verse 11 says, "And not only this, but we also exalt," that means to praise, "we also praise in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." He says, "And we praise God for all of this because in Jesus we have been reconciled to God." We know that Jesus is the way that we're brought back to God. The story of the Bible is perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son Jesus Christ. That's called the reconciliation. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. That's the way it is. Now, from this, that's what He's been talking about, all this and how God loves us and what God has done and all of this and how we're reconciled. Beginning at verse 12 this morning, 12, 13, and 14, and then later on, He's going to say, why do we have to have this? Why do we need to be brought back to God? Well, if you notice, let me break down the passage for you. We're going to look at 12 through 17, but verses 12, 13, and 14, He reminds us that we are sinners, all of us, because when Adam sinned, we sinned. Now, that doesn't sound fair. Well, I'll remind you again this thing of imputation. I'll remind you again how this works. But when Adam sinned, we sinned. That's 12, 13, and 14. And then in verses 15 and 16 and 17, we'll start this. He's going to begin to show a contrast between Adam and Christ. Being in Adam, being in Christ. Being in Adam, death. Being in Christ, life. And there's a whole lot more, and we'll see that. I've even got a little chart for you that we'll look at very briefly. We'll just start it this morning because 15 through the end of the chapter is the contrast. We'll only look at 15, 16, and 17 this morning. Now, as we begin, let me remind you of this truth that you know that you've got to just make sure you got it in your brain, and that is this. Adam's sin was given to the human race. Now, when Adam was in the garden, just remember, he was in the garden, and God told him, and then Eve, of course, as well, that there all the trees you can eat from, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat from that tree, you will, literally in the Hebrew it says, die and you shall surely die. And what He said was, you're going to die spiritually and then ultimately die physically. Well, we know what they did. They openly disobeyed, they sinned, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they died spiritually that exact moment. And then ultimately physical death came. But they died. And what's amazing, the scripture says that because we were in Adam, He's the head of the human race, and that every human being was actually inside Adam, so to speak, when he sinned, we sinned. The Bible says that God imputed, counted, took Adam's sin and put it on every human being because we were all in Adam. Now, that's a truth. We're going to see it, and it tells us right here in verse 12. But you need to understand that as we get into the passage. Look at verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man, That's Adam. Sin entered into the world and death through sin. So death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. We all sinned in Adam. Now notice how the verse starts. It starts with a therefore, and that's a summary. And what he's been doing is he's going to summarize and say, now that we know that we can praise God because we've been reconciled to God through Christ and God loved us and sent us His Son and all of these things, he says, now that's truth, but we need to understand, why do we need to be reconciled to God? It's because we sinned in Adam. Notice, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. Now, he starts off by saying, just as through one man. That one man is Adam himself. There he is. That's the one man. He's back there. Notice what it says. Sin entered into the world. Now, sin means the fact of sin. He did wrong. He openly disobeyed God. He went in rebellion against God, what God told him, and he sinned. And so sin entered into this world. The Greek word there is cosmos. It means the whole world system. It means human beings. It means our lives. It means everything. He says, through this one man, through his sin, through one man, sin entered into this world. When we look at this world and it's dead people walking, and there's sin everywhere, and we look around and see that all the sinning comes short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one, the soul of the sin shall die, over and over and over. That's because when Adam sinned, sin entered into this whole world. Notice what he goes on to say. Sin entered the world and death through sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. Now, I want you to understand something. When Adam sinned, he died. But listen to this. First of all, he died spiritually. The moment he sinned against God, he died spiritually. He was spiritually alive, then he became spiritually dead. But second, as a result of his spiritual death, there would ultimately be a physical death. Now, it took 900 and something years, but he died physically. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. That there's something else as well. Not only are human beings spiritually dead and we're going to physically die, but unless something is done, there is what the Bible calls an eternal death, which is an eternal separation from God. When human beings come into this world, they come into this world spiritually dead. They're on the way to being physically dead. And if something is not done, they will be eternally dead, which means it's separated from God forever. So when Adam sinned, and when it says, therefore, through one man, sin in the world and death by sin, and so death spread to all people, spiritual death, physical death, eternal death spread to all people. Why? Notice how the verse ends. Because all sinned. The way that's written in the Greek, it means all people in Adam sinned. Literally, human beings sinned in Adam. We ate the fruit. If you looked at the record inside you, it would say, me, J.B. Bond, ate fruit. I go, I didn't eat the fruit. Yes, you did. You were in Adam, and when Adam sinned, God counted it on your account. Through one man, Adam, sin entered this world, and death by sin, and death passed to every human being. Why? Because we all sinned in Adam. Wow. Do you remember the imputation chart? If you've got the chart, just put that up there real quickly. I just want to remind you of this. We won't go over it all. But you remember we talked about impute means to credit to an account, to give to an account. The very first thing is Adam's sin was actually imputed, counted to the world, to every human being. That's Romans 5:12. That's what we're studying right now. Every human being got Adam's sin. That's why we're dead people walking. That's why the world is dead in sin. Because we got Adam's sin. Now, you remember, and I won't go over this in much detail at all, but you remember the imputations was Adam's sin was given to the world. All of the world's sins, human beings, past, present, future, every sin of every human being was placed on Christ on the cross. That's why it says he bore in his body our sins when he was on the cross. And then the great truth of all, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his perfection, his goodness is given to us. Now, in this passage, all he's talking about is the very first thing, Adam's sin given to us. Now, it's powerful. Just as through one man, sin entered the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. I want you to understand, all people are spiritually dead. There's a physical death coming, and the end result, if something's not done, is an eternal death. Sin is universal. Sin came through Adam. One sin, all sinned. That's how it works. Now, I want you to see, he's going to make a point that if you've never read the next verse or never saw it in the context of the flow, this may surprise you. I want you, he wants to show us how Adam's sin is what brings us death. Watch. verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now notice what he says. Read it carefully. For until the law, sin was in the world. Now what he's saying is from Adam and Eve to Moses, there was no law. He says from Adam and Eve until there was the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. Now what he's saying is this. From Adam and Eve to Moses, there wasn't a law. See, there's Adam and Eve, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Joseph, and then Moses, and then the Mosaic Law. Then the law came. He's saying from Adam to Moses, until the law, sin was in the world. People sinned, but notice what he says. But sin is not credited, imputed, where there is no law. Now, listen to what he's saying. From Adam to Moses, people sinned personally, but God did not count that against them. Because when there's no law, there's no imputation. Now, let me say it again, because you may not have heard this before. From Adam and Eve to Moses, people sinned, but God did not count, credit their personal sins against them. But look at the next verse. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. Why did death still reign? Because Adam's sin was given to every human being. See, people weren't dying because of their personal sins, because he said, I haven't given them a law yet. They died because of the sin of Adam. That's why he says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, even though they didn't do Adam's sin, they died like Adam. Why? Because Adam's sin was credited to every person. So I want you to understand in Romans 12, that's 5, 12, 13, and 14, his point is this, that when Adam sinned, sin passed to every person. And even before there was any kind of law, and from Adam and Eve to Moses, he didn't even count their sins against them, and yet they all died because they all had Adam's sin, and they all died. Every human being has Adam's sin imputed to their account. That's why we're dead people walking. We're all dead. Now, we're spiritually dead. People come into this world spiritually dead. People are going to die physically. And if something's not done, there will be eternal death. That's why God says, I've got to do something. That's why his plan was to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to pay for our sins, to be our substitute, and to offer the gift of eternal life as simply by faith as a gift. That's God's plan. Now, notice the end of verse. Now, verses 12, 13, and 14 give us this idea about we're all sinful in Adam. And now the rest of the way, he's going to say something at the very end. He's going to talk about Adam, who's a type of Christ. And then the rest of the passage, all the way to the end of the chapter, we'll get it next week, he's going to show a contrast between Adam and Christ. Let me tell you something. Every human being is either in Adam or in Christ. Now let me tell you, you know where you want to be? You won't be in Christ. Because any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You don't want to be in Adam. Every human being comes into this world, guess what? In Adam. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're in Christ. He's going to show the contrast between Adam and Christ. Now notice what he says. He says, Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now a type means a foreshadow. Means something that matches. I want to tell you, a type in the Old Testament, one of the famous types in the Old Testament, a type is something that foreshadows what Jesus is going to do. In the Old Testament, when they were in Egypt and they came out of Egypt, and the children of Israel took a lamb, they called it the Passover lamb, and they killed it, and they put the blood on the door, and they believed God that by putting the blood on the door, they would be saved, and they'd be delivered from bondage in Egypt, and that's exactly what happened. And then later on, that was a type of Christ, because later on, Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His blood is shed, and when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you trust in him that he will deliver you from the bondage of sin. So that's a type. It says here that Adam was a type of Christ. Now, why is he meaning it? Well, in the way that I talked a while ago, Adam is a head just like Christ is the head. Adam is a head of all people who are in Adam. Christ is the head of all people who are in Christ. They're both heads. They both oversee groups, so to speak. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. It's pretty powerful. Let me show you a chart. I'm just going to put it up, and we'll get a lot more details on this next week. And I'll go through it very, very quickly because next week's the details. But over here is Adam, over here is Christ. Sometimes the Bible calls Adam the first Adam, and sometimes the Bible calls Christ the second Adam. In Adam, all die, but in Christ, all are alive. In Adam, there he's earthly. Christ is heavenly. Adam's of the old creation. Christ is the new creation. Adam was tested in the garden, and he failed. Christ was tested in the wilderness, and he passed. And notice the contrast. In Adam, there's transgression, but in Christ, there's the gift. In Adam, there's death. In Christ, there's life. In Adam, there's sin. In Christ, there's righteousness. In Adam, there's condemnation. In Christ, there's justification. In Adam, there's disobedience. In Christ, there's obedience. Look at the next slide. In Adam, death reigns. Dead people walking. In Christ, life reigns. In Adam, there's eternal separation. In Christ, there's eternal life. The truth is that entire human race is either in Adam, not Adam's death. It should say either in Adam and death or in Christ and life. Every human being in this world that you find are either going to be in Adam or in Christ. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are in Adam, and there is death reigns and separation and all of that. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are in Christ, you're a new creation, and you have life, and life reigns. That's what it is. He's going to show the contrast. We're only going to get three of the verses this morning. There's about seven total verses that he goes this contrast. We'll see the rest next week. But I want you to understand there's a contrast that he's about to make. Because in Adam, sin passed to everybody. What did Jesus do to solve the problem? And we're going to see the contrast between being in Adam and being in Christ. Adam brings transgression, condemnation, death. Christ brings righteousness and life. Notice verse 15. Here's the contrast. He says, the free gift's not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Now, I'm going to go pretty quickly through this, but I want you to see it. He says, the free gift's not like the transgression. The free gift is Jesus dying on the cross. The transgression is Adam's sin. He says they're contrasted. They're not the same. What Adam did and what Jesus did aren't the same. Notice, for if by the transgression of the one, the many died. If and it's true, by the sin of the one, that's Adam, by Adam's sin, it literally says the many died. Now, when you see that in the Greek, don't think the many. There were some who died and some who didn't. The Greek, when it says the many, it means all. That's how it fits it. It says through the transgression of one, Adam, everybody died. Through one man, sin in the world, death by sin, death passed upon all sinned. We all died. Now, that's not good. But look what it goes on to say. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more, here's something better, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The grace of God is salvation and life. The gift is the gift of sending the Son to die on the cross and pay for sin. He says, by the gift, it all abounded to the many. All people can be saved in Christ. All people are dead in Adam. All people are alive in Christ. In Adam, death. In Christ, life. He goes on and says more. Here's some more in verse 16. The gift's not like that which came through the one who sinned. In other words, the gift is not like the trespass. For on the one hand, he's going to talk about Adam first. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression that resulted in condemnation. He says judgment came and resulted in condemnation. When Adam sinned, the judgment is all people will be separated from God because the wages of sin is death. So in Adam, all die and are separated. As I put on that chart a while ago, eternal separation. But notice the contrast. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions. In other words, Jesus came and died and paid for our sins, for all sins, resulting in justification. Now, justification means to be declared righteous, means to be declared right with God. He says, on one hand, Adam brought death to every person and condemnation. Jesus brings life. Now, how in the world can we be justified? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, having been justified by faith. I want you to understand there's the contrast. The free gift is different from the transgression. The free gift results in justification, which comes simply by faith. Adam's sin brings death, judgment, and condemnation and separation. Christ's gift, which brings life, justification, fellowship, and relationship forever. Now, what a contrast. We got one more. But remember what he said. In Adam, you die. In Adam, there's condemnation. In Adam, there's separation. In Christ, there's life. In Christ, there's righteousness. In Christ, there's a relationship. Now, how do you get that relationship? We've already seen it's by faith, but notice what he says in verse 17. For if by the transgression of one, if by Adam's sin, death reigned through that one, death came to every person, yes, much more. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says. Through the transgression of one, death reigned. Through the gift of grace and the abundance of grace which is received, life will reign. Now I want you to notice the difference. The transgression comes to all people. The gift does not come to all people. The transgression comes to every human being. The gift only comes to those who receive the gift of righteousness. That's what he says. How do you receive the gift of righteousness? By faith. Every human being comes into this world with the transgression and the sin. Every human being, unless something is done, will be separated. But when we receive the gift of righteousness, which comes by faith, we're found in Christ, not in Adam. You remember John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe on his name. Notice what the verse says. It says, and those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we get God's righteousness by faith. It all comes, and you will have life, they will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. By one man, Adam, death reigned. By one man, Christ, all who receive the gift, life will reign. Now, let me say this. I hope every one of you in this room, and I know most everybody in the room as I look around it, but I hope every one of you in this room have the gift of life by faith in Jesus Christ, that you are in Christ and not in Adam. If you have never put your faith in Christ, right now, biblically speaking, you are in Adam. You're dead people walking. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're going to die physically, and one day you will be eternally separated from God. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, trust in Him right now, right where you're sitting, you can believe that He died on the cross for you, paid for your sins. He gives you eternal life. You can trust Him and Him alone. If you believe in Him, you get the gift of righteousness. You are placed in Christ. You are spiritually alive. You will never be separated from God, ever. I hope every one of you in this room, if you've not trusted Christ, right now, you will believe in Him as your Savior. You will go from being in Adam to being in Christ. It's powerful. What have we seen in this? Adam's transgression is sin, death, condemnation, death reigns. Christ's gift is life, righteousness, and life reigns. We have seen that one man, Adam, brings sin and death to all people. We've seen that all people sinned in Adam and are spiritually dead, will die physically, and unless something is done, will be eternally separated. We realize there's a great contrast between Adam's sin and Christ's gift. Adam's sin brings death, condemnation, and death reigns. Dead people walking. Christ's gift is life and righteousness, and life reigns. And we get life and receive righteousness by faith. Now let me give you a couple of applications and we'll be through. The first application is understand the condition of human beings, dead people walking. This is a fallen world. All people come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We're spiritually dead. Later we'll be physically dead, and the eternal result is separation from God forever. People are dead. When I worked for State Farm right before I went to Dallas Seminary, I helped sometimes do life insurance policies, and sometimes a person would say, now, if I die, we get this much. And I'd say, no, when you die, you get this much, or somebody else gets this much. Because it's not a question of if you die, it's when you die. Because we're already dead, and we're going to physically die, unless Jesus comes back and gets us before. Understand the condition of human beings, dead people walking. Look at A, I've got underneath there for you. Adam's sin is given to all people. That's why we're dead people walking. Adam's sin imputed, credited to every person. All people are sinners. But second, B, Adam's sin brings death. There's no doubt about it. The wages of sin is death. There's physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. Now there's a solution, and look at it. Number two, by faith in Jesus Christ, we can have life. Jesus came and died on the cross and paid for sin. Whoever believes in Him passes from death to life, passes from being in Adam to being in Christ. We have righteousness and life, and we get eternal life. And instead of being death reigning, we have life reigning. And it's simply by faith. I hope and pray every one of you in this room have already trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and you've gone from being in Adam to being in Christ. May we understand and proclaim to our world that is dead in trespasses and sins, being in Adam, death and condemnation, that by faith in Christ who died and rose again, we can have life and righteousness. Now listen to this. The reigning death of Adam's sin is changed to reigning life in Jesus Christ to all who receive Him as Savior by faith. It's that simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these great truths. Thank You, Lord, as we look at this passage and realize that the condition of all human beings with dead people walking. All people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All people are dead in Adam. Adam's sin is given to all people. Adam's sin brings death. And that the human beings are all spiritually dead, resulting in physical death, which ultimately results in eternal death. Lord, thank You that You have a solution. That Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and paid for sin, and whoever will believe in Him by faith, we can have life. We go from being in Adam to being in Christ. We go from death to life to righteousness. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. I hope and pray that each one has trusted Christ. And Lord, as we go out these doors, use us to tell other people about Jesus, that it's not goodness or works or church or anything that saves. It's Jesus who saves. And it's not by our works or goodness, but it's by faith in Christ that we have life. Lord, may we realize that the reigning death of Adam's sin is changed to reigning life in Christ simply by faith in Him as our Savior. Thank You, Lord, for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.